Stories of Journey to the West, Chapter 9.
We've got something really captivating for you today.
Yeah, the heart of the Tang Dynasty, Emperor Taizong's reign. Modern Xi'an, basically.
Exactly. Imagine that city, 7th century, just buzzing with life, power, culture.
And right in the middle of this, we get this, well, this situation. It starts small, but it escalates.
It really does. It's this bet, isn't it? Between a fortune teller.
Just a guy in the city, seemingly.
And a dragon king. A literal dragon king with divine duties.
Yeah, the mundane meets the mythical. Yeah. Right there on the streets of Chang'an. It's fantastic.
So we'll meet some interesting characters caught up in all this.
Right, you've got Zhang the fisherman, Lai the woodcutter.
A fortune teller who seems, well, suspiciously knowledgeable.
And the dragon king himself, of course, from the Jing River. Very proud.
So the mission, folks, is to sort of unpack this amazing story.
Figure out what makes these characters tick, you know, their motivations.
And look at how fate and maybe free will and even imperial power all just collide here.
It's a really compelling mix from this Tang Dynasty source. So let's get into it.
Okay, so the text opens with a really grounded scene, actually. It's our fishman, Zhang, and the woodcutter, Li. They're heading back from Chang, selling their stuff.
Right, and they get into this friendly argument. Happens all the time, right? Whose life is better?
Life by the river or life up in the mountains?
But it's more than just arguing. They start quoting poetry at each other.
Yeah, the text even gives these titles like Butterfly Lover's Flower, Partridge Sky. It's quite poetic.
They're trying to one-up each other, painting these pictures with words, describing the beauty of their lives.
Totally. Zhang talks about, like, the sunset reflects on the red smartweed, you know?
It's a feeling of peace on the water.
And his small boat adrift on vast, misty waters. Very serene images.
Yeah, he emphasizes that tranquility, that connection to the river's rhythm. Contentment, really.
And Lai, what about the woodcutter?
Well, he comes back with his own stuff, like fragrant tongue leaves blowing in the mountain air.
Oh, okay.
And see yellow flowers in the autumn. It's a different vibe. More, maybe solid, rooted.
Interesting contrast. And it's not just about their jobs, is it?
No.
Yeah.
No, they even start comparing their downtime, their free time.
Right. Zhang's talking about, you know, waiting patiently with his fishing line.
While Li's maybe reading or playing chess. More intellectual, maybe, or strategic, anyway.
It shows their different values, their whole way of life. It's a nice touch.
It really is. And this whole debate, it seems light, but it kind of sets up this idea of natural order, of finding satisfaction.
Which is going to get disrupted, right?
Exactly. By the Dragon King. But first, there's this little detail as they part ways.
Zhang mentions the fortune teller.
Yeah. Says he's going to visit this guy in Chang'an.
Yeah.
Apparently gives him a golden carp every day.
A golden carp, like as payment.
Sort of retainer, yeah. Shows how much faith Zhang has in this fortune teller's predictions. And on this specific day, the advice was super precise, wasn't it?
Yeah, like go east of the Jing River Bend to use your net, but fish from the West Bank.
Right, with a promise of a huge haul, enough to sell for a good price in the city.
And that little detail is where things start to unravel.
Because someone overheard them.
Ah, right. The Yaksha.
The night watchman Yaksha of the Jing River. A water spirit, basically. A guard.
And he hears Zhang talking about this super accurate fortune teller.
Exactly. Alarm bells, big time. He thinks, this guy knows too much. He's a threat to the river creatures.
So he doesn't just ignore it.
No way. He, like, panics. Rushes back to the Dragon King's crystal palace under the river.
Tells the king all about it.
Yeah, reports that this fortune teller could endanger all his subjects.
Ooh, the Dragon King would not like that.
Not one bit. The text says he just flares up. Pure fury. This powerful being threatened by some human fortune teller.
His first instinct is just smash, right? Punish him.
Totally. Silence the threat. But then his advisors step in.
Wiser heads prevail. For a moment, anyway.
Right. He's got this whole court, you know, dragon son, dragon grandson, shrimp official, crab soldier.
Wow, quite the entourage.
And advisor Xi, junior minister Gui, prime minister Li.
Yeah.
They suggest a different approach.
What do they say?
Basically, hold on, Your Majesty. Don't just storm into Chang. Be subtle.
Subtle how?
Disguise yourself. Go as a scholar. Check this guy out first. See if he's really that good.
Okay. Gather some intel before acting rashly. Makes sense.
So the king agrees. He swaps his royal gear for white scholar robes.
Transforms himself.
Yeah. The text mentions his fine features and dignified bearing. Still looks impressive. Just human.
And heads off to Chang'an.
To the West Gate. finds this bustling scene, people talking about zodiac signs, lucky days, typical city stuff.
And he finds the fortune teller's place.
Yep. And the description of the stall as well, it's something else.
Oh, yeah. What's it like?
Not just some table. Pearls, embroidery, incense burning.
Fancy.
Wang Wei landscape paintings. A portrait of Giguzi, this ancient sage.
Okay, so this isn't some street corner hack. This setup suggests prestige.
Definitely. Plus, you know, the tools of the trade. Inkstone, brush, specific divination texts mentioned, like Fire Pearl Forest, references to Guopu's methods.
Guopu? Wasn't he a known scholar of this stuff?
Exactly. It all points to someone serious with a solid reputation for predicting past and future.
And the man himself.
Yuan Shaoqing. And get this, he's the uncle of Yuan Tiangang.
The Imperial Observatory official. Whoa!
Right. So connections. The text notes his remarkable appearance, his fame in the city. He's kind of a big deal.
So the Dragon King, still in his scholar disguise, goes up to him.
Mm-hmm. Blight greetings, all that. Then he asks a simple question.
The big one.
What's the weather going to be tomorrow?
Just like that. Testing him.
Exactly. Seeing if the hype is real. And Yuan Shaoqing doesn't miss a beat.
He gives the prediction.
An unbelievably specific one. Clouds at Chenxi. That's 7:09 a.m.
Okay.
Thunder at Cixi, 9:11 a.m. Rain starting at Wuxi, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Wow.
Stopping at Wuxi, 1:03 p.m. The exact amount.
How much?
3 feet, 3 inches, and 48 points.
That is incredibly precise, like down to the drop.
Right. The Dragon King just scoffs. Can't believe it. Thinks it's ridiculous.
So he makes the bet.
50 tales of silver says Yuan's wrong. And if he is wrong,
uh-oh.
The Dragon King threatens to smash his stall, run him out of Chang'an for good. Real arrogance there.
And Yuan Shaoqing.
Cool as a cucumber. Accepts the bet. No fear. Seems totally confident.
So the Dragon King leaves, probably thinking he's got this in the bag.
Absolutely. Which, you know, kind of steps on the Dragon King's toes, doesn't it? I mean, that's his job.
Totally. It's a direct challenge. He's like, hang on, I'm the rain guy here.
Thinks he's about to expose a fraud. But then things take a turn.
The next day.
The next day. Before anything else happens, boom, a golden warrior descends from the sky.
Whoa. Seriously?
Yep. Carrying an imperial decree directly for the Jing River Dragon King.
Talk about unexpected. How does the Dragon King react?
Instant fear. Utter shock. He receives the decree respectfully, nervously.
And the decree says, don't tell me.
Exactly what Yuan Shaoqing predicted. Commands the Dragon King, bring rain tomorrow.
At the exact times.
The exact times.
Yep.
And the exact amount. 3 feet, 3 inches, 48 points.
Oh, man. The Dragon King must have freaked out.
Total shock. He realizes Yuan Shaoqing wasn't just guessing. This guy has some serious connections, some real insight.
But does he obey?
Well, this is where Advisor Shi pops up again. With a terrible idea.
Oh no, what now?
Instead of just doing what the decree says, she suggests tweaking it.
Tweaking an imperial decree.
From the heavens.
Yeah, change the timing slightly, change the amount slightly, just enough so Yuan Shaoqing is wrong.
Why? Just to win the bet.
Pretty much. Win the bet, discredit Yuan, save face. It's incredibly short-sighted, arrogant.
And the Dragon King. He goes for it.
He does. Buys into this terrible advice. Prioritizes his pride and a 50-tail bet over a direct command. A huge mistake.
So the next day, rain day.
The Dragon King makes it rain, but
yeah.
Not according to plan, the original plan anyway.
He follows Advisor Shi's plan.
Yep. Makes the clouds form later, starts the rain later, lets it stop later.
And the amount.
Deliberately short. 3 feet and 40 points. Not the 3 feet. 3 inches, 48 points from the decree and the prediction. Just enough to be technically wrong. He thinks he's so clever.
Classic hubris, isn't it? So focused on beating the fortune teller, he ignores the bigger picture, disobeying a divine order.
So feeling smug, he goes back to the stall.
Still disguises the scholar,
yeah.
But he's not polite this time.
What does he do?
Goes berserk, smashes the sign, throws the inkstone, scatters the brushes, tears up the paintings maybe. Total destruction.
All while yelling about Yuan being a fraud.
Exactly. Ranting, raving, accusing him of lying, of being a charlatan, thinking he's won.
But Yuan Shaoqing.
Still calm.
Remarkably so. Just watches this happen. And then he drops the bomb.
What does he say?
He looks right at the disguised Dragon King and says essentially, I know who you are.
Ooh.
Calls him out. You're the Jing River Dragon King. And you disobeyed the Emperor's decree. You changed the rain.
He knew.
He knew everything. And then the killer blow. For that, you will be executed.
On the Dragon Slaying Platform.
Dragon Slaying Platform. That sounds final.
Doesn't it? Sounds like a place for serious divine justice. the Dragon King's reaction.
Complete terror, I bet.
Instantly. Arrogance gone. Shocked and trembling, the text says. Hair standing on end. Drops the stuff he was smashing.
He kneels down.
Throws himself at Yuan Shaoqing's feet, begging for his life. Save me. Save me.
Can Yuan save him?
Yuan says, look, I can't change your fate. What's done is done, basically.
Ouch.
But, he says, I can offer some guidance for your next life. And he gives him one crucial piece of advice.
What's that?
He tells him who will execute him and when.
He knows that too.
Yep. Says it'll be the official Wei Zhang tomorrow at Wuxi Three Quarters.
Wuxi Three Quarters around 12.45 p.m.
Roughly, yeah. And Yuan says, your only hope, go see Emperor Taizong, plead with him directly.
So the Dragon King bolts.
Immediately, terrified, races back towards the Imperial Palace, gets there at night.
What can he do at night?
He appears to the Emperor in a dream.
A dream visitation.
Exactly. Kneels before Emperor Taizong in the dream. Confounds everything, the crime, the altered reign, the impending execution by Wei Zhang.
And begs the emperor for help.
Desperately pleads for salvation. Save me from Wei Zhang.
And the emperor, what does he say in the dream?
He promises. He says, don't worry, I will save you.
Wow. So the emperor wakes up.
Understandably troubled, right? Mm-hmm. This vivid dream feels real, weighs on him.
And it's morning court time.
Mm-hmm. All the big officials are there. Feng Xuanling, Duruhu, Zhu Shiji, important Tang Dynasty figures.
But someone's missing.
Wei Zhang, the very official named in the dream as the executioner. He's not there.
Emperor Taizong must notice.
He does. Tells Zhu Shiji about this weird, unsettling dream. Asks where Wei Zhang is.
What does Zhu Shiji suggest?
Zhu Shiji connects the dots. Dream about Wei Zhang executing a dragon. Wei Zhang is absent. He comes up with a plan.
Which is?
Keep Wei Zhang busy, detain him with the emperor all day.
So he physically can't be wherever he needs to be to execute the dragon at 12.45?
That's the idea. If he's with the emperor, he can't carry out the sentence. Clever, huh?
Very clever. But what is Wei Zhang doing? Why is he absent?
Well, back at his place, Wei Zhang's been busy observing the heavens, meditating.
And?
He also received a decree in a dream. An imperial command.
To execute the dragon.
Exactly. Execute the Jing River dragon at Wuxi Three Quarters. So he was preparing. Fasting, focusing his spirit, maybe checking his sword. That's why he missed court.
So he's actually been given the divine task.
Seems like it. Just then, the emperor's summons arrives. Urgent. Come to court now.
So Wei Zhang rushes over.
Yep. Hurries to the palace. Apologizes for being late. Explains he was preparing for something.
Does the emperor know what he was preparing for?
Not explicitly, no. Taizong, still focused on saving the dream dragon, just pardons his absence and then does something unusual.
What's that?
Dismisses the entire court.
Yeah.
Tells everyone else to leave, except Wei Zhang.
Keeps him behind.
Asks him to stay for a private audience. So they need to discuss state affairs. Just the two of them.
Part of Xu Shiji's plan, right? Keep him occupied.
Exactly. And as that execution time, Wuxi Three Quarters, around 12.45, gets closer and closer.
What does the emperor do?
He suggests a game of chess.
Chess. To keep Wei Zhang there.
Yep. And that's where this part of the story leaves us. In suspense.
Wow. Will playing chess be enough to stop a divine execution?
That's the cliffhanger. Can the emperor, just by keeping Wei Zhang distracted, actually save the Dragon King? Or is fate or divine will gonna find a way?
Okay, let's just recap what we covered in this deep dive. It's quite a sequence.
It really is. Started with that simple chat between the fisherman and the woodcutter.
Which led to the Dragon King getting involved because of the fortune teller.
His arrogance, the bet, defying the decree.
Yuan Shaoqing's incredibly accurate prediction, and then his pronouncement of doom.
Right. The dragon slaying platform, then the Dragon King's desperate dream plea to the emperor.
And Emperor Taizong trying to intervene, unwittingly setting up this final confrontation, or lack thereof, with Wei Zhang over a chessboard.
Mm-hmm. That's quite right.
And the themes that come through are just fascinating, aren't they?
Definitely. That tension between what humans think they know or control and this larger, maybe divine plan.
And the consequences of pride, of defying fate, or at least defying a direct order that seems linked to fate.
Yeah, and how power isn't always where you expect it. The fortune teller, Yuan Shaoqing, he seems to hold a lot of keys here, doesn't he? More than the Dragon King, maybe even more than the emperor in some ways.
It really makes you think. Which leads to that final thought we like to leave listeners with.
What does this story really suggest about destiny? about fate versus free will.
Was the Dragon King doomed from the start? Or did his own actions, his pride, his decision to disobey, did that seal his fate?
Could he have chosen differently and avoided the dragon's laying platform? It's a great question. Something to chew on.